At the Movies with CJ Johnson.
Well, movies and television as well. Plenty of good stuff on the telly. CJ, good evening. Welcome to Nightlife.
Good evening. Thank you very much, Philip.
All right, some TV on Stan, Perpetual Grace. We've got a Netflix film, The Rolling Thunder Review, and a new Korean film called Parasite. By the way, I took your recommendation and started watching Chernobyl.
Yeah.
That's fantastic, isn't it?
Isn't it good? It really is very good. How deep are you into it?
Three eps.
Okay, yeah. So it's only five episodes, yeah. So you're nearly there. Isn't it just absolutely mind-blowing?
Unbelievably well done.
Yeah. Yes.
I would recommend it if anybody... It's on Foxtel Showcase, so you have to subscribe to that. But look, you could subscribe and then unsubscribe.
Now, you can. Absolutely. There's also a podcast that goes along with it. It's through HBO Podcast. It's just called The Chernobyl Podcast or Chernobyl Podcast. And it's by the creator of the series, the writer-creator of the series.
Okay.
And if you listen to it after each episode, he will tell you what he changed in the interest of full transparency. So he will tell you, oh, you know that scene? Well, that's not what they said. This is actually what they said in real life, and the reason I changed it was this, because he doesn't want anyone to feel that they're not, you know, he knows it's not the literal truth, so he gives you the reasons for his dramatic truth.
Mm.
Quite something.
Yes, quite something. All right, anyway, now to the moment at hand. So the Stan TV series Perpetual Grace, tell us about this.
Yeah, well, you've probably, I don't know, if you live in cities, you've seen big posters for this series. Stan is really, 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 really pushing this series. And fair enough, they know they've got something on their hands with this one. So the lead characters, the two stars that they're promoting are Ben Kingsley, Sir Ben Kingsley, and Australia's own Jackie Weaver. But there are two excellent younger male actors in it as well. Australia's own Damon Herriman and an American name called Jimmy Simpson, who some people will be familiar with from the TV series Westworld. He's kind of the lead amongst a bunch of different sort of leads in that show. All four of them are fantastic. The show is set in New Mexico, primarily, modern-day New Mexico in the United States, but really it's set in the Coen Brothers universe. Now, the Coen Brothers have nothing to do with this show other than their influence is all over it. The way they tell stories, the way that they shoot, the way they use cinematography, the way they use editing, and also their particular sense of humor and the way that the Coen Brothers tell crime stories infused with black comedy. So if you were at all interested, if you're all into Coen Brothers movies, you will probably like this series, because even though it is blatantly influenced by the Coen Brothers, I mean blatantly, it doesn't feel like a ripoff, because it does feel like it's got its own integrity, because it's smart and funny on its own terms and has a cracking story on its own terms. So Damon Herriman, who is adding to his long list of characters who are less smart than Damon Herriman himself. He's really good. Damon Herriman is really good at placing the intelligence of his characters exactly and then using that as the basis. So he's sort of gotten famous for playing kind of dumb, slightly evil Americans, but he's so good at doing them and he always brings humor to it. So he plays this man who wants to steal his own parents' $4 million. His parents are dodgy religious types in New Mexico, dodgy pastors.
Mm-hmm.
And he feels hard done by them. So he enlists this drifter played by Jimmy Simpson and says, look, I've got this whole plan. And if you agree to do this plan, you can have $2 million of the $4 million. And he sets this long plan in motion. And then we see a long plan start to go wrong and wrong and wrong and wrong and wrong, which is kind of the Coen Brothers playbook. You know, and violence occurs occasionally and this occurs occasionally, but it's all shot through with absolutely wry, dry, deadpan, black humor. And it also skips around a lot. So something will happen to someone and you'll be like, that's curious. And then you'll get a title card 8 months earlier. And then you'll, for maybe the next 25 minutes, you'll see all the events that led up to that. And then it'll flash back to the 1 second after that, which is something the Coen Brothers do. And this does all the time to its benefit. It is really good fun. Jackie Weaver is playing a fantastic character. She's playing all sorts of interesting offbeat Americans. You know, she's not just playing Americans now. She's playing highly specific, absurdly interesting Americans. Ben Kingsley is playing. Did you ever see Sexy Beast?
No.
Sexy Beast was like from 2005 or something, but Ben Kingsley played a really hard man, which is not what you think of when you think of Ben Kingsley, but he can play hard, and he plays hard in this. So he plays this spooky, hard man who can kind of kill his way out of anything. And Jackie Weaver plays his wife. They're dodgy preachers, the whole thing. It's neo-noir with a black comedy twist, and it's really involving. Like, I haven't pressed next episode twice in a row for a while, and I did on this one.
Okay. Perpetual Grace. All right, this is a little of what it sounds like.
He had this shrill, awful laugh. In fact, you'd just stiffen around him, even when he was cheerful. He was a crumb. Paul hurt people. That's worse than watching your own boy get hurt, too. That's the one thing that is. He was looked after, too. I'd often pray as he was taking shape into his bent shape that he'd straighten out, but he never did.
I could just listen to Ben Kingsley.
You can, can't you?
Yeah. There's no real explanation for why he's British yet in New Mexico, but it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. Yeah. It doesn't matter. All right, now to a Netflix film, which is on at the moment. This is something I'm sure I'd enjoy. The Rolling Thunder Review, a new film by Martin Scorsese about Bob Dylan.
Yes, we must give it its entire title. It's called Rolling Thunder Review, A Bob Dylan Story by Martin Scorsese. And that's integral to understanding this film, because this film is two things simultaneously. So the first and predominant thing it is a reflective look back at the Rolling Thunder Review tour that Bob Dylan staged in 1975, and which in a way he's kind of been on ever since. And I'll get to that. So basically, Bob Dylan took a long time off touring between 66 and 75 after people got snooty about him going electric and all of this. But he comes back in 75 with a new style of singing. He's doing these long story songs, and probably the best of all of them we all know is Hurricane.
Yeah.
And so he puts together this wacky tour, which is not so much to promote, he's not that kind of guy, but more to investigate. And he gets an awful lot of really amazing, talented sort of folkies and really good instrumentalists, all sorts of artists together on this, what he called a Commedia dell'arte excursion. He wanted to sort of emulate Commedia dell'arte. And the idea, they were like funny pranksters rolling around town in a bus. And they did this extravagant tour. For example, Allen Ginsberg came along, and so did Joan Baez. And he was singing these new songs, very often new to the people hearing them for the first time. Some of the songs that ended up as the Desire album, but he was trying them out on the road, and they were wearing these beautiful costumes, and he was wearing white face, and the show was 3 hours long, and it included, for example, Allen Ginsberg doing 5 minutes of poetry, and there were three distinct sets, and they would go to off-the-beaten-track towns. Indeed, there's a scene where they go to some not particularly salubrious American town, and they hand out the flyer saying, this tour is going to be here tomorrow night, and this sort of teenage kid looks at it and is like, Bob Dylan, why is he coming here? they did their own thing. And the tour famously didn't make any money and blah, blah, blah. But as Bob Dylan describes it in the documentary, it had an adventurous spirit. So it was a success. But the thing is, Bob Dylan took along a crew of 15 people to film him and the tour, because Bob Dylan, out of this tour, out of this whole extravagant thing, this fantasia, made a 5-hour film called Ronaldo and Clara that is, by all accounts, a total mess. And very few people have ever seen it, and it's not gone down in history as an even watchable film.
No.
And it was very, very much a hybrid of reality and documentary and whatever, and he was playing a character, Ronaldo, and there was a Clara, which was, I think, the violinist, but it was meta, and they were playing parts and blah, 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 blah. Sounds very, very, very 1975 to me. Anyway, that failed. So now Martin Scorsese, who is obviously friends with Bob Dylan, has come along and got himself access to all of the footage.
So he's got all the footage. Okay. So
all of the footage. And so he's constructed this new thing. So,
well, he's made one already, hasn't he, about Dylan?
Yes, he's already made one about Dylan.
Yeah. So this was very, very good about Dylan from the earliest times to the time he goes electric.
Yeah.
And That's what's it called?
That Don't Look Back?
Look Back. I'm trying to think. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
He did a fantastic job with that one.
So this is his second one with Dylan. And so the best thing we get out of this, and it's quite phenomenal, is we get all this amazing concert footage from the Rolling Thunder tour, including this live version of Hurricane that is really quite something. Mm. And you see him playing with Joan Baez a lot, and that violinist, female violinist who plays on Hurricane, she's with him all the time. And you get a lot of backstage footage, and you get a lot of footage of them rehearsing and them on the bus, Dylan driving the bus, and it's really quite fun. But the other thing that they've done is, the reason it's called Rolling Thunder Review, A Bob Dylan Story, is that they fictionalize the whole thing as well. I guess Martin Scorsese and Bob Dylan decided that the whole thing was a jape, mm-hmm. and so they are going to have a jape with it in the modern era. And so interspersed with real interviews with people, et cetera, and interspersed with the actual footage, there are fake interviews with actors and other people playing people who were never even there in the first place, but saying they were. And so they invent this whole Dutch filmmaker who was supposedly the person who shot all the footage in the first place, but is actually just Bette Midler's husband, and I assume is just a friend of Martin Scorsese's or Bob Dylan's. And for example, Sharon Stone keeps coming back and saying that she was on the tour and that she was, but she wasn't. No, she would have been a child.
No Direction Home is the one I was
thinking. Direction Home, yes.
The first Scorsese film, yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, so it's enormously fun. It's a nice fat watch. It's 2 hours and 22 minutes.
Yep.
There's an enormous amount of really good footage, and you just see things that are just so mind-bogglingly cool that just make you want to revel in them for hours and hours. Like, you see Joni Mitchell teaching Bob Dylan her new song, and it went on to be Coyote. It was a major song, and here she's teaching Dylan it for the first time, and this camera sort of goes around this door and enters this room and captures them doing that. And you're like, oh my gosh, this really is the next best
really
thing to being there.
The heart of creativity, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm.
This is a little. I stumbled on the side of 12 misty mountains. Walked in and crawled on 6 crooked highways. Been in the middle of 7 sad forests. Been out in front of a dozen dead oceans. Been 10,000 miles in the mouth of a graveyard. And it's a high. Well, it's a high. Well, it's a high, and it's a high, well, it's a high, rain gonna fall. Yes, well, for Dylan fans and others alike, right? Rolling Thunder Review, A Bob Dylan Story by Martin Scorsese.
Oh, it's really delightful.
All right, now, this new Korean film called Parasite.
Yeah, we won't dwell too much on it. You can go to the website if you want to see my full written review, but because it might not be available in your area. But I should just mention that the film that won the Palme d'Or at Cannes and a couple of weeks ago won the Sydney Film Festival Prize is opening this Thursday around the country. It's called Parasite. It's a new film from Jun Ho Bong. And it's really, really, really terrific. It's very, very funny, very, very accessible, about a family that's very lower class in Korea, in Seoul, who infiltrate the lives of a very wealthy family by stealth. It's a black comedy, and it's really quite delightful.
Okay. Right. So look, it may not be available everywhere, but have a look out for it. Parasite. The trouble with these films, of course, is that they often get difficult to see, don't they? What's their...
The interesting thing about Parasite is that it's actually being distributed around Australia, not only by Palace and Dendy, but also by Hoyts and Event Cinemas, because in its opening week in South Korea, it made $50 million. This is a massive commercial film. So it's not just going for, you know, everyone here. It's also going for the Korean market in Australia.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. Some recommendations here. The Perpetual Grace.
Yeah, it's definitely worth watching.
Definitely worth watching. The Rolling Thunder Review.
Well, it's a movie, so we can give it a rating, and I'll give it a 4-star rating.
Okay. And the Korean movie, Parasite?
Four stars as well.
Four stars as well. That's in good viewing there.
Mm.
And as I say, do look at Chernobyl.
It's so good, isn't it?
It is very, very good.
I've seen it all, so I can give it a star rating. 5 stars for Chernobyl.
Oh, I think so.
It's so good.
It is fantastic. Good on you, CJ. Thanks.
Thanks.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.